It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and today we're going to be looking at a Sunday school lesson about Isaac and his wells that is found in Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 through 25, and you may want to turn there in your Bible and follow along as we go through this lesson. Now, I remember it wasn't many years ago that Paul Overstreet wrote a song, or at least sang a song, about this text called Dig Another Well. And it went like this. Well, Ike had a blessing from the Lord up above. He gave him a beautiful woman to love, a place to live and some good land to farm, two good legs and two good arms. Well, the devil came sneaking around one night and decided he would do a little evil to Ike. Figured it would hit old Ike where it hurts. So he filled up all of Ike's well with dirt. And when Ike went out for his morning drink, he got a dipper full of dirt, and his heart did sink. But he knew it was the devil. So he said with a grin, God bless me once, he can do it again. He blessed me once, and he can do it again. So when the rains don't fall and the crops all fail, and the cows ain't putting any milk in the pail, don't sit around waiting for a check in the mail. Just pick up the shovel and dig another well. Pick up the shovel and dig another well. Now, me and old Ike got a lot in common. The Lord blessed me with a beautiful woman. He gave me a job. He gave me a home. He gave me a well to call my own. Now, when I go out for my morning drink and get a dipper full of dirt, my heart does sink. But I think of old Ike, and I have to grin, because God blessed me once, and he can do it again. He blessed me once, and he can do it again. So when the rains don't fall and the crops all fail, the good book says Ike finally won. So pick up a shovel and dig another well. The devil got tired and he left him alone. So pick up a shovel and dig another well. And I know someday I'm going to win too. So pick up a shovel and dig another well. Because the good book tells me what to do. Pick up a shovel and dig another well. Pick up the shovel and dig another well. Pick up the shovel and dig another well. Pick up the shovel and dig another well. Well, now, I really remember enjoying that song and hearing that on the radio, and I think we had a little, back in my day, it was a cassette tape where we played that, and that's how we have to face life. God blesses us. It's the devil that causes us evil, but the God who can bless us once can bless us again, and we can't give up. And sometimes we just need to work hard, and sometimes we need to work harder, and sometime we need to work over again. But if we're doing God's will, and we're doing things God's way, it will not be in vain. The blessing will come. If we don't see it in this life, then we'll see it in eternity. I'm going to be talking about this Sunday school lesson from Genesis 26, from a Sunday school notes that were written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of May the 23rd, 1926. Before I get into those notes, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, as we had said, the text for this lesson is Genesis 26, 12 through 25. The golden text is found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but a grievous word stirreth up anger. And then for the devotional reading, we're asked to turn to the Sermon on the Mount that is found in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And what we're going to do is read Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, a common piece of scripture that is often simply called the Beatitudes. Here they are from the American Standard Version. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he had sat down, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall reproach you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That is really a very appropriate devotional reading for this account of Isaac, and in fact for Isaac himself, because in many ways the life of Isaac, the life that Isaac lived, exemplifies the teachings that we found that Jesus made on that great Sermon on the Mount. Now here are some geographical notes from Elam's notes. Beersheba was a town in the southern part of Palestine, 40 or 50 miles south of Jerusalem, and 25 or 30 miles south of Hebron. Beersheba means the well of the oath, because there Abraham and Abimelech formed a covenant in Genesis chapter 21 and took each the oath of friendship. We read in this about the land of the Philistines. The same as Philistia is his name somewhere in the Bible, some places in the Bible. It's a very fertile plain on the southwestern border of Palestine and on the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea, extending from the desert of Shur north to the plain of Sharon, a distance of 40 or 50 miles. Its width at its northern end is about 10 miles, and at its southern end, about 20 miles. Gera is mentioned in Genesis 10 and verse 19 with some other ancient cities. It was a city of the Philistines south of Gaza. Abraham journeyed there in Genesis 20, and Isaac dwelt there in Genesis 26. And there Asa, by the help of Jehovah, gained a great victory over the Ethiopians in 2 Chronicles 14, 9 through 15. Now here are some helps and hints for the teachers. Soon after the events of the last lesson, Abraham moved from Hebron to Beersheba, or Beersheba. Abimelech was a Philistine and king of Gera. Abimelech was the name of several Philistine kings and was probably the title of these kings. Isaac was born at Beersheba about a year after the destruction of Sodom, when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90, at the set time of which God had spoken to him in Genesis chapter 21. Other facts concerning Isaac's birth and the joy which his birth produced are commented upon in the last lesson. Ishmael, the son of Hagar the Egyptian, Isaac's half-brother, was 14 years old when Isaac was born. Ishmael was born after the flesh. Isaac was the born after the promise. And there's an allegory about that in the latter part of Galatians chapter 4. At the feast Abraham made when Isaac was weaned, Ishmael mocked. And Sarah said to Abraham, "Cast out this handmaid and her son, for the son of this handmaid shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac." This Abraham disliked very much to do, but God told him to hearken to her voice, saying, "For in Isaac shall thy seed be called," Genesis 21:8-12. This circumstance was an allegory, and represented the two great covenants of the Bible. I want to read that allegory to you in Galatians chapter 4. Paul writes in Galatians 4:21, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid and one by the free woman. Howbeit the son of the handmaid is born after the flesh, but the son of the free woman is born through the promise, which things contain an allegory. For these women are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, bearing children in the bondage, which is Hagar." Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to the Jerusalem that now is, for she is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For more are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband." Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, so also it is now. Howbeit, what saith the Scripture? "Cast out the handmaid and her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of a handmaid, but of the free woman." The most important event in Isaac's life, and the greatest test of his father's faith, was when he was offered on Mount Moriah as a sacrifice to God. He was a young man and must have been a willing sacrifice. From Beersheba, he went with his father to the place of sacrifice in Genesis 21. God had led Abraham along in faith and service before this and up to this sublime height. God had tested him in various ways and at different times, but this was the severest test to which he had ever been put. This was the supreme moment of his life, the supreme act of his faith, and the supreme manifestation of his great character. The points of likeness between the sacrifice of Isaac and of Jesus are as follows. On the third day, Abraham and Isaac reached the place of sacrifice, and on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. Isaac was Abraham's only son, the seed in whom all were to be blessed, and Jesus was the only begotten of the Father. Isaac was a willing offering, and so was Jesus. Isaac submitted virtually to death. Jesus submitted literally to death. Abraham received Isaac in a figure from the dead, and Jesus rose from the dead. By this deed, Abraham's faith was made perfect. James chapter 2:21-23. And the next important event in Isaac's life was his marriage to Rebekah, his cousin, when he was 40 years of age. Rebekah was the daughter of Bethuel, the sister of Laban, and she was beautiful and possessed a strong and influential character. It is not stated when she died. Isaac's mother died at the age of 127, hence had been dead 3 years when Isaac was married. Come back to next class.